So before we start today's sermon, then let's chant Namaskara 3 times to pay our homage to the Lord Buddha.
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa.
So someone has asked me a question. Can you please explain jati and jati dhamma? Jati and jati dhamma, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that this is a thinking, right? When we talk about jati and jati dhamma, we are talking about thinking. Tell me one thing. When the image happens, right? When you see something, do you think the emotions or feelings or moods that you feel, depending on what you see, they come with the sight itself? Like, you just see someone and because of seeing them, you get angry. Does that happen really? I mean, maybe we feel like that, but you know, that does not happen because there are multiple causes in that situation which manifests that effect, right? Of you feeling anger towards someone. It's not just the image which makes you angry, right? There is some data in your mind, right? And when that image happens, you think about that image according to that data that you have in your mind, right? And when you do that, then now perhaps you feel, what do you feel? That the matter that you are observing right now, and actually, even though we say we are observing matter, or we use this word observing, really, it's not correct way to think about this world. We don't observe this world, really. If there is a world, then that world we can never observe in any way, really. So, why we cannot observe world? There is a simple reason. See, when we think about the world, so, now I have again started jumping everywhere. We have just started sermon, right? But my aim is to address these questions from different angles, right? So that you can all have a thorough understanding, right? So we are talking about the world, right? So when we normally think about the world, how do we think about the world or universe? That the world is out there and the world exists, right? World has existence and world had a past, has present, and even if we die or whatever happens to us, the world is always going to be there, right? Even in the future, the world will be there. That is how you think about the world, right? Now tell me, have you ever observed world in the past? Have you ever observed past? Right now, what you see and what I see from here, does that have a past in any way? Or is this present moment? Are we living in the present moment right now, or are we living in the past or future right now? Can past or future ever be here right now? Whatever is here right now must be what? Present moment, right? It cannot be what? The past or future, right? If you say that right now I'm observing past, then what you are saying is that I am observing present. Isn't that so? Because past means what? Something which is not here, right? It's gone. And future is not here either, right? The only thing which is here, when we use the word it is, right? When we use the word it was means what? It's no longer here, right? But it was. And then when we talk about it is, that means it is something that is here right now. But then when we are talking about the present, right? In the present, when there is present moment, in that present moment, does the present moment itself have any past or future? How can absolute present moment have a past or future? Can that happen? Really? Now try to think about it. That when you are having your life experiences, all sorts of experiences, right? Actually, when these experiences happen, so what are the six type of experiences which can really happen? Have you ever experienced anything apart from the six experiences, as in the sight has happened and sound has happened or is happening or will happen? Or the same goes for sight, sound, smell, taste, touch and thought, right? The six things. So these six things, either they did happen or they are happening or they will happen. But apart from these six things, what else have you experienced? Tell me. Now, ladies and gentlemen, try to think about these things. Even though all that we have ever experienced is what? This sight, sound, smell, taste, touch and thought, right? Those six things. That is what all the experiences mean. Even though those are the only things that can happen, or let's say the experiences which are happening, we don't normally live our life thinking that those six things are happening, right? We are living in some sort of mental world, isn't it? We are fully immersed in some sort of world which is there in our own mind, really. So, tell me, the way you think about your children, do you think other people also think about your children in the same way? No, right? So, you know, that is something that is specific to you, right? So, then what I mean to say is that that world that you are living in, right? That is specific to you, right? So, that is what I mean when I say we are all living in some sort of world, right? And now, if you remember, a few weeks ago, we were discussing this idea that when we are living our life, we are usually a bit narcissistic, really. Narcissistic means self-centered, right? We are very self-centered. And I was talking about this idea that even though, see, you are living in your own world, but the thing is, now the feeling that you have is what? That somehow the world that you are experiencing or the world that you are living in is out there. Isn't that the feeling that you have? Right? I mean, whenever this all these experiences happen, when you see something, see, if we talk about these six experiences, whether we talk about the sight, sound, smell, taste, touch or thought, right? All these things, what are these things? In simple way, Rupa, Vedna, Sanya, Sankhara and Vijnana, right? These are the five components of the mind. All the experiences, right? This is what all those experiences mean. These five things, Rupa, Vedna, Sanya, Sankhara and Vijnana. Now, this Rupa, ladies and gentlemen, see this Rupa. So, now of course we don't experience these components individually. Really, what we experience is like the final product, right? I mean, when you see something when you are experiencing things right now, you are able. Yes, this Rupa. So, I was talking about this idea that what we experience, right? It's the final product, right? We don't experience this process happening, right? We directly experience what? The final thing, right? I mean, the whole thing combined, right? The final experience or product, that is what we experience. Now, when this experience happens, then now what we feel is that this experience that we are feeling, we feel that it is happening because such a thing was out there to be experienced, right? Isn't that how you feel? So, you know, if you think I am now being very abstract when I'm talking about these things, then let me give you some concrete examples. So, okay, so right now, perhaps you feel, as you look at the stage, as your eyes are towards the stage, right? Maybe you feel that the sermon is happening here, that is why you are experiencing it there. That is how you might perhaps feel right now, right? That there is something happening out there And it is that something which is happening out there, that something is what you are experiencing. That is what you might feel, right? So even this image, you might feel that this image is out here, the sound is out here, right? So this feeling happens, right? Now we did talk about the world, right? That we all feel that the world is out there, and that world which is out there is the world that we experience, right? Now, before we talk further about that world, let's take some example of anicca, dukkha and anatta, right? So think about weighing scale. So you have all measured your weight, right? That you have certain weight in kilograms, right? So now imagine that machine is there. So I have just wrote the digits 000. So imagine that this is a weighing scale, right? And I bring a weighing scale in front of you, right? And I ask you to step on the weighing scale. Then you put yourself on the weighing scale. And then obviously weighing scale is, what do we say about the weighing scale? Weighing scale is something that is supposed to measure the weight. That is how we say, right? When we talk about the weight, how do we think about the weight? We think the weight is something that belongs to us, right? And it is just that weighing scale is something that measures the weight which belongs to us. That is how we feel, right? So, see, when you step on the weighing scale, now imagine that the weighing scale says, right, that your weight is 60 kilogram. Imagine that is what weighing scale says. So even when you step on the weighing scale and when it says that your weight is 60 kilogram, don't you have this feeling that even before you did step on the weighing scale, your weight was 60 kilogram? Isn't that how you feel normally? See, because you feel in that way, when you measure your weight and the weighing scale says it's 60 kilogram, then later on when you go to someone else and you talk with them, then what do you tell them? That if they were to ask you what is your weight, right? Then what would you tell them? Recently I did measure my weight, and that weight is, then I got the answer, or that measurement, what is the measurement value? I got 60 kilograms, right? My weight is 60 kilogram. So you feel that 60 kilogram property, it belongs to you, right? And even before you did step on the weighing scale, your weight was probably 60 kilogram. That you feel in that way. I'm not saying whether this is true or not. I have to first to come to jati and jati dhamma, right? I have to first show you how you normally feel about this world, right? Then we can explain whether what we feel is true or not. Because you know that the mind is something that can have illusion or hallucinations, right? Mind is the only thing in this universe which can have these hallucinations, right? Or illusions. As in, it does not have to leave, or let's say the mind does not have to start with the truth. So actually in that way we can say even the computers, even they can have hallucinations, because... Okay, let's... I don't want to open so many boxes. So mind can either start with the right knowledge or wrong knowledge, right? So mind can have hallucinations and mind can have correct experiences as well. Now, I was talking about this weighing scale. Even before you step on the weighing scale, you think there is a weight that you have, but you just don't know what is that weight. Isn't that how you feel about your weight? When you try to measure your weight, that is how you think about the weight, right? Even before you step on the weighing scale, you think you have weight, but you just don't know it, right? Okay. See, now, that experience that you have, right? That experience, that pattern is a universal pattern. This pattern of thinking in terms of past, present, and future about everything. So see, even when you think about your own weight, what you think is that my weight was something in the past, it is something in the present, it will be something in the future, my weight, right? So, whenever, ladies and gentlemen, you think about anything, right, unless you meet Buddha or disciple of Buddha, right, unless you get to associate with the noble ones, this is your normal experience, right? Thinking in terms of past, present, and future. Now, think about this. If we talk about this weighing scale, let's talk about, so, now, you know, there are many different type of weighing scales with the different mechanisms. So we have digital weighing scale and we have mechanical weighing scale also, right? And there are many types, many ways in which you can make a weighing scale. So now if I were to just simply talk about some sort of mechanical weighing scale, so I am not technical expert or engineer about these things, right? But I don't necessarily need to understand technical details in order to help you understand anicca dukkha anatta, right? We just have to understand something very basic. So imagine that there is a mechanical weighing scale in front of you. So if it is mechanical, right, then that means there must be some springs or something, right, which helps which helps the machine to function, right, to measure the weight. So perhaps there is a weighing scale. So perhaps there is a weighing scale, right? So I'm just drawing springs. If it's not good drawing, please pardon me. So there are some springs in the weighing machine. Now you know that these springs, they are one of the reasons why the weighing scale says the weight that it says, right? The measurement that it does, the weighing scale. One of the reasons, so imagine that when you step on this weighing scale, this mechanical weighing scale, it says 60 kilogram. So, you know, one of the reason why it says 60 kilogram is because of the springs, right? The way they work. So, if these springs, they were loose or more tight, then what would happen? Will you get the same measurement value? You will get different measurement value, right? So, how can that happen if the weight belongs to you? If your weight is 60 kilogram, or let's say mass, right? Because when we talk about the weight is of course dependent on the gravity. Mass is not dependent on the gravity. So let's say we talk about the mass. So how come, because I'm talking about the kilogram, so how come your mass, if the mass is an objective property which belongs to you, then how come the value of that property depends on something outside yourself? Tell me. How can that be, really? Think about it. So if you, let's say this, when you step on this mechanical weighing scale, right, the spring was tight, right? So that's why, so then with that certain, so now of course there are technical details here. I mean, the spring has some sort of force constant and this type of values, these are attached to the springs, right? So nevertheless, so imagine there was a particular type of so basically, because of the way this spring was in any given moment, you got some sort of measurement value, right? The mass. So if that spring was in a different way, right, then you would get a different measurement value. So what is the real measurement value, really, or what is the real mass that you have? That is a question that you can ask. But then the thing is, you have to understand that, tell me one thing, If I add 1 and 1 and 1, then you will get answer what? 3. So, where did this answer 3 came from? Did it come from this one? Did it come from this one? Did it come from this one? No. So, where did it come from? It is the combined effect of all three components. Right? Okay. Is this the only way you can get 3? If I do 2 plus 1, then also you will get what? 3. If I do minus 4 plus 1, then, okay, 4 minus 1. 4 minus 1, then again you will get 3. So tell me, where did the 3 come from? Is there any answer to that question? An objective answer? When you observe 3, right? Can you say where did that 3 come from? I mean, can you attribute that effect to one cause? You cannot do that, right? Because this is a combined effect of multiple causes, right? So in the same way, this measurement value that you get on the mechanical weighing scale, that is also effect of combination of many causes, right? That value that you get on the measuring scale, it does not come from one particular cause. Your body, your physical body is not the reason for you getting the 60 kilogram answer, really. But when you think about it, how do you think? That it is your body which has a mass of what? 60 kilogram. That is how you think, right? See, now, so, or how you always think about things. So, I'm now explaining different angles and then we'll come to Jati and Jati Dhamma. So, we are talking about this idea that all that you experience in your life is what? Sight, sound, smell, taste, touch and thought, right? Those six things. And those six things, those six experiences are what happens, right? But the thing is, you don't feel in your life that your these six experiences are happening. What do you always feel? We were discussing just now, right? You are living in some sort of world, and how many things that world has? Can you tell me how many things your world has? So many, right? Maybe infinite things, right? So many different things are there in the world in which you live in your mind. We don't know about what is out there, what the world of matter contains. We don't know. But when the causes, they come together, then some sort of effect happens, right? When the mind and matter, when they come together, then some sort of experience happens, yes. And those experiences are of six types. Now, when you think about this weighing scale example, can you not understand one thing? That your weight is something that is a manifestation or effect, right? Your weight or your mass that you feel, that you have some mass or your body has some mass, that mass is not something that is fixed, really, right? It is an effect. The mass that you think your body has. So I'm not talking about the collection of matter, the physical matter. I'm talking about the measurement value that you get when you try to measure your mass, right? That value is what? An effect or manifestation, right? It is not fixed, really. Fixed things cannot vary. Fixed things cannot change, right? So, now, how did you think about your mass even before stepping on the weighing scale? That even before you step on the weighing scale, when the weighing scale says, when you measure your mass, then it says 60 kilogram. Then now, in that moment, you feel even before you did step on the weighing scale, your mass was what? 60 kilogram, right? So, see, this is the idea that I'm talking about. All the things which are there in your world, they have this nature, right? What nature? You feel they were there in the past, they are there in the present. If they are not in front of you, they are somewhere, right? So how do you think about all these things which are there in your own mental world? So perhaps, do you all now, I'm not sure, maybe not now, but maybe before, when you got to associate with the Buddha Sahasrara, perhaps you did like to listen to music. So now, when you were not listening to music, what did you think at that time? So imagine that you like some music, some albums or something, right? And you have perhaps kept them downloaded in your phone or some music player or something somewhere on your PC, laptop somewhere. Now, don't you have that feeling? I mean, did you not have this feeling at that time that when you were not listening to music, what did you feel? So perhaps let's say you are in your college or university, right? And you are in the lecture, right? Now, as far as I know, I don't know any university which allows you to listen to music when you are listening to lecture. So given that, unless you are in such a university, I assume your university asks you to be in the lecture, right? Not to listen to music when the lecture is going on. So then, perhaps if you did like this particular music so much, then now perhaps you have this feeling in your mind when you are in the lecture and when that sight is happening and when that sound is happening, you perhaps had this feeling that this music that you like, it is there in your pocket, right? In your phone, or it is there in your laptop. That is how you felt about these things, right? That they are out there, but it's just that you are not experiencing them. But they are out there, right? It's just that you are not. So how do you feel about the Colombo when you are sitting here? You think Colombo is there, but right now you are not able to see it, right? But it's there. That is how you feel, right? And about the whole world. So now when I take specific example, then it sounds funny. But you can take any example, right? Whenever you have this feeling, right? The sight or sound, right? It is out there. Or actually not just sight and sound, right? All six things, really. So even about the ideas, don't you think that when you read the book, imagine that you read the book, you are reading some, let's say you are reading Dhammapada, you are reading Dhammapada, or you are reading, I don't know, Bhagavad Gita, or you are reading Bible, or whatever you are reading, you feel that the meaning that you get when you read that book, you somehow feel that meaning is waiting for you, right? As in like, right now, for example, let's just say I have a Dhammapada book in my locker in Sanghavasa, where all the monks live. Imagine that I tell you that I have, or let's say this is how I feel, just imagine that I were to feel like this, that the Dhammapada book is there. So that Dhammapada book is there, that's not the issue. The issue is, right now, when I am in this sermon, right now, just imagine, if I were to feel that Dhammapada book is there, and there is some profound wisdom in Dhammapada, and I'm not saying it's not there, the wisdom is not there, right? Try to focus on the point that I'm trying to show you. I'm not saying there is no wisdom in all these holy books and scriptures, right? That is not what I want to say. What I want to say is that we have this feeling that this wisdom which is there in all these books is in those books, right? Waiting for us. It's just that you haven't read those books. So because you haven't read those books, you don't have that wisdom, right? But if you read that book, then now you will get wisdom from those books, right? Isn't that how you feel? So then that means the wisdom is out there waiting for you. Isn't that how you feel? So now I'm talking about the thinking or ideas, right? So we did discuss about what two things. So we did take example of music, right? How do you feel about the sounds actually? So music is part of this category that we call what sounds, right? Sound of people, the music and animal and the sound of rain and nature and everything, right? So all these sounds basically sounds. So we have this feeling that sounds are out there, right? But it is such that we are not experiencing all the sounds, right? Tell me, in Dhamma Hall, is there a sermon or not in Dhamma Hall right now? Just give me an answer according to your knowledge. Is there a sermon going on in Dhamma Hall or not right now in Sinhala? There is a sermon going on in Dhamma Hall in Sinhala, right? According to your idea. Okay. Now, is there not a sight which is there? You are not able to see because you are here. Isn't that how you feel? Is there not... So, Swami Han say, Dorang Goda Nayaka Thero is doing sermon today, right, in Sinhala. So now, don't you feel that that sound is there? It's just that you are not listening to it here. That is how you normally think, right, about everything. So, are there people in the hut in front of Dhamma Hall or not? There are many people, right? And probably they are maybe talking with each other and there are children, they are screaming and shouting and laughing. And you are not able to hear them, right? But those sounds are there. So you feel about like in that way about the sounds and about the sight, right? We did take example. That's why perhaps you want to go to Hawaii, right? So I don't know why we take this example of Hawaii in our sermons, right? But imagine that perhaps you feel that you haven't seen Hawaii, right? So you perhaps have a plan to go and see Hawaii. So Hawaii, the sight that you will get to see when you go to Hawaii, you feel that that sight is out there, right? Waiting. But right now, you are just not able to see, right? So if you give a lot of money to these travel agents, they will send you in the flight to Hawaii, then you will be able to see Hawaii. So Hawaii is also out there, right? That is how you feel. And think about the taste. I don't think I need to give you so many examples, but you know, I mean, so there are all sorts of shopping malls out there, right? And then all in all these superstores and shopping malls, right? There are so many chocolates and cakes and biscuits and bakery items and all these things, they are there, right? And then it's just that right now you are not eating any of them, right? So that's why you are not able to experience the taste of those things, right? So taste is there in this superstore. It's just that if you get to eat that chocolate, then you can get taste. Otherwise, you can't get the taste, right? So taste is also somewhere in the back of your mind. You have this feeling taste is waiting for you somewhere, right? Isn't that how you feel about the taste, right? When people tell you about the restaurants, there is a new nice restaurant which has springed up in the town. We better go and taste the food that they are selling, right? So they give you such idea. And then now how do you feel that the dishes that they cook, right? The experience of those dishes, the sight and the taste and smell, right, and touch, all these experiences, and if they are giving you papadam, then the sound as well, right, crunchy sound, the krakrang, krakrang, whatever. So then you feel that all those things are out there, right? It's just that you are not experiencing them right now, right? So that goes for taste and then smells as well. So all these superstores, they have many perfumes, right, and deodorants, right? And you feel that the only reason why you are not able to smell is there in all these products, but it's just that you are not able to experience them right now, right? So if you were to go to supermarket, I mean, isn't that how all normal people feel, right? So when I say normal people, what I mean by normal people? People who haven't associated with the sasana, right? Who haven't associated with the Buddha or the disciples of Buddha, right? Who haven't associated with the noble ones. That is how they all feel, right? That the superstore is there and perfumes are there, and it's just that we are not experiencing the smells which are already there. But if somehow we can earn some money and we can buy all those things, then now we can have those experiences. The very reason why you See, so we did talk about the sight and sound and smell and taste and thinking, and what the last one, the touch, right? So now, of course, we can take all sorts of example about even the touch, right? So you perhaps feel that there is a nice furniture, so you also have some furniture at your home. So you feel that it would be nice if you so imagine that there were some furniture stores, right? And they give you this idea that they have really created very comfortable sofa or bed or something, right? And then they tell you this is the best thing. It's so soft and it's so nice to sleep on this bed, and they give you all sorts of use like that. Then how do you feel that this experience of touch, right? So whatever you would have experienced, the softness, the all these things that you would have experienced when you would have used that furniture, you think that those things are there, but it's just that you are not experiencing them right now, right? But they're out there. That is how you feel, right? Now, and of course, it's not just the furniture, right? All sorts of things are involved, even with the clothes, right? So perhaps, imagine if you did not have very soft clothes to wear, then when you look at the other people, perhaps, I mean, so I don't think you all have any problem like that, but imagine that you had such a problem. You were so poor, you did not have any money to wear any nice soft clothes. So when you did, you were wearing very rough clothes, and when you looked at some other person, you felt that they are wearing some clothes, and those clothes are creating certain type of experience for them, right? So perhaps, you know, they are wearing soft clothes, right, and comfortable clothes, but you are not wearing soft clothes or comfortable clothes. That is how you might perhaps feel, right? And so that could be one example. The clothes or furniture could be one example, right? And temperature, right? Temperature is also something that is, that comes under the category of touch, right? So temperature is something you experience because of touch faculty, right? So this feeling of cold and heat, right? This experiences, or you feel the temperature is normal, those experiences are also part of this touch, right? So what do you feel about the temperature? As in this experience of sometimes you feel cold. So I see that some of you are already feeling cold, right now. So this experience of cold, right, this experience of heat, right, sometimes now perhaps you sit in this library for 1 hour, 2 hours, and then when you go out of AC, then now suddenly you feel very different, right? So when you are in this library, then perhaps you feel that out there it is hot, right? Inside it is cool. Don't you feel in that way? So this could be also example of touch, right? This experience of temperature, right, that is also a part of touch, right? And then of course sensuality is also there, right? I mean, sensuality as in people, they want to associate with each other, right? Men, they want to be with the woman or with the men, right? Or women, they also want to be with the woman or men, right? So they want to associate with someone else, right? So other people's physical body, they want to associate with them because they think what they experience. So imagine that, just imagine that this was someone's physical body, just imagine, and I touch them, right? And now what would people normally feel that when we do this, right? What we feel when we touch other people's physical body, we think it came from there, right? Isn't that the reason why people, they want to associate with other people? I mean, they want to indulge in sensual acts, right? They want to indulge in sensuality because they think in this way, right? Because what they experience when they touch the physical body of other people, they think it's already there, right, in them. But it's just that they are not with them in relation. So perhaps, you know, they are not able to touch them, right? So they want to be in relation with them, perhaps, right? Because, you know, when there is a fear of sensuality, then, I mean, people, they come together because of some reason. No one this is how nature works. Everything that comes together, it comes together because of some sort of force, right? So that force has to be something. Now usually, so anyways, so one of the reason why people, they want to be with each other, right, is they want to indulge in sensuality, right? They want to experience the physical body of other human beings, right? Because they think there is something in there, but that experience, right, they are not able to get it, right? But if they are with them, then they will be able to experience, right? So they want to be with other human beings, right? They want to be with other people, other men or women, right? So see, all these things, right? So now I have explained you all six categories, right? The sight, sound, smell, taste, touch, and thought. And obviously, I cannot exhaust all the examples, right? There are so many examples. I can't tell you all examples. I just want to show you that this is how we think about these things, right? I mean, normally, right? See, now, so what we need to understand now about this thing is that if we take anything into this world, anything whatsoever, right? You take any example and you try to contemplate about that example, right? Whatever you take, and you can take any example, whenever you take any example, right? So actually, whenever we talk about something, even though we feel in our mind that we are talking about something, we are not talking about something, we are talking about the effect, really. So whenever we talk about any effect, right, effect is something that cannot have a past or future. Why can effect not have a past or future? So when you look at this whiteboard, now how many times you have seen this whiteboard in the sermon? So many times, right? So you perhaps feel that this the something that is in here on the stage, this whiteboard, which it was there in the past, it's here and it will be there in the future if nothing happens to it, right? Then it will be there in the future as well. That is how we normally feel, right? So now this whiteboard, tell me, the observation that you are doing right now, or what you are seeing right now, let's say, the sight which is happening right now, is that sight happening in the past, present, or future? The sight which is happening right now, as you look at this stage, is it happening in the past, present, or future? It is happening when? In the present, right? It is happening in the present. So you are observing something in the present moment, right? Can you ever observe past? As in the past is there and you see it. Can something like that ever happen? Really? If you can observe the past, then can that past really be past, or you just think it is past but it is really present? It is really present, right? It cannot be past. And the same goes for the future, right? You cannot observe future. If you can observe future, then is that future in future, or is that future already in the present? So if it is in the present, then it is not future, it is what? Present. Isn't that so? Okay. So everyone agrees, right, that what you see is not in the past or future, it is in the present. Agree? Okay. So you are observing something in the right moment, this present moment, right? Now, when you observe something which is in the present moment, so whatever is in here, it, when the light and this whiteboard and your eyes and optic nerve and brain and mind, the karmic energy, memory, all these things, when they come together, they finally create some sort of experience, right? So Now, when you think in this way, that this whiteboard had a past and it can possibly have future as well, right? Or it will have future, or at least it can have future, if not that it will definitely have, right? So, but about the past, you feel pretty sure, right? About the past of things. There are so many things in your mental world and you feel so sure about the past of those things, right? So, tell me one thing. This whiteboard, if I start, so imagine that, so, you know, if we go by the modern science, right, we can just say what is in here. Fundamentally, the atoms, right? And atoms are made up of what? The electrons, protons, and neutrons, right? So, if we just think in that way, then if I were to take these electrons, protons, and neutrons one by one from here, right, then what would you feel? So, I take, let's say I take a bunch of electrons, protons, and neutrons and just throw them. Take electrons, protons, neutrons and throw them. So eventually, you know, there is not unlimited matter here, right? There will, soon enough, there will be no electrons, protons and neutrons here, right? So, then where did the whiteboard go when I did do that? See, if the whiteboard was created in the past and it was that thing which was created in the past which you are observing right now, then why would you need the causes in the present moment, really? Even without the causes in the present moment, as in these electrons, neutrons and protons that I have thrown away here, right? Even without them, I should be able to see the whiteboard. If the whiteboard has a past, right? And if, so when you look at this whiteboard, you feel this whiteboard has a past, right? It had a past. So that is why I'm asking this question. If this whiteboard had a past, then in this moment, I don't necessarily need causes, right? And if I need causes in this moment, in order for you to see the whiteboard in this moment, then that means the whiteboard that you see in this moment has no past, right? So, see, now, perhaps, you know, you have to meditate on this and you have to think about this, right? But this is a thing that you should understand first clearly, right? So, when you understand that things cannot have past, then now, when you understand that, then now when you look at this whiteboard, even though you, when you look on this, sorry, look at this whiteboard and then you feel that this whiteboard had a past, right? Now, if you understand, it is not possible to observe something which had a past, because what you observe is in the present moment. And if you take away the causes in the present moment, then that thing is not there. Then that means it was not in the past, really. The reason why you observe it is because of the causes in that moment, right? Then there was nothing, that effect did not have any past. So even though that is so, how do you normally feel? You perhaps feel what? Always when these experiences happen, as I told you even about these six things, right? The sight, sound, smell, taste, touch and thoughts. So actually, even though those are six things, our world is not just limited to those six things. So when we talk about the mind is Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, Sankhara and Vijnana, right? And how many types of minds can be there? Six types of minds, right? Sight, sound, smell, taste, touch and thought. So sight, sound, smell, taste, touch and thought, right? The six things. So these six things are, even though these six things are what really happens, we are always living in some sort of world, right? As in some sort of mental world that I'm talking about, right? So where is that world? That world is not in these five things, really. That mental world, right? It is not in these five things. That mental world is where? in our thinking, manodhamma, right? It is in thinking that this mental world that we live in or we feel like we are living in, that mental world exists where? In the sixth thing, right? The thought. And now, when we understand, see, now when you can understand, when you can distinguish between the mind and matter clearly, what is mind and what is matter, right? When you can learn to distinguish or discriminate between the mind and matter clearly, right? So, this is the, you know, in one way you can say this is our goal as a practice to attain Nibbana, really, to discriminate between the mind and matter, really, right? Buddha did talk about this word, Nama Rupa Paricheda Jnana, right? Buddha did talk about this word. So this word, Nama Rupa Paricheda Jnana, right? So Nama and Rupa in a very simplistic way just means mind and matter, right? So your ability to discriminate between what is the mind and matter is this Nama Rupa Paricheda Jnana. And as you practice the path, as you develop your wisdom more and more, right, you are able to distinguish really, right, what is mind and what is matter. So that is why Buddha did say, Panya Bhavetabha and Vinyana Parinyaya. That is what Buddha did say. So what does that mean? Panya Bhavetabha means the wisdom has to be developed. And Vinyana Parinyaya. So Vinyana Parinyaya or Parinyaya means the Vinyana has to be understood. Right? When the wisdom is developed, then what do you understand by the wisdom? Vinyana. Right? Buddha did call Vinyana a magician or magician's trick. Right? And what is the fundamental trick which is always going on in the Vinyana? So usually, of course, when we talk about the worldly magicians, then they have many different tricks, right? And all the different magic tricks that they all have different explanation, right? All tricks, they don't have a same mechanism, right? But the trick of magician, right? Or sorry, the trick of Vinyana, right? When Buddha talks about the Vinyana as the trick of magician, now, that magician is ignorance, and the only trick that it has is to create this kind of experiences. What experiences? That things have always existed in the past, do exist in the present, and they can or they will exist in the future, right? So, this experience, this is the magic of the Vinyana, really. This is the magic trick of the ignorance, right? So, now I was telling you that the mental world that you live in, right, that mental world is not in sight, sound, smell, taste and touch. It's in the thought. It's in the thinking. And now, of course, you are not born. See, let me ask you an interesting question. All the things that you know about in this life, were you born with all those knowledge and ideas in this life? You have a name, right? Were you born with that name? You have this feeling that this is my father, this is my mother, this is my brother, these are my friends, and this is their name, and they are like this. My uncle is very nice, my mom is very kind, my father gets angry easily. You have all sorts of ideas and things like that in your world, right? So, were you born with all these ideas and concepts? Try to think about this. And not just the relations, right? Everything. All the things that you know, or think or believe in, were you born with that knowledge? Try to think about it, really. So, the reason why I ask you that question, were you born with that knowledge, is because I want you to see something specific, right? Those of you who were there in the sermons in the past few weeks, you might remember that we were talking about this idea of Salayatana, right? So, what is Salayatana? So, Salayatana is a Pali word, right? So, now, the normal word which we can use for the senses in the Pali is, let's say, Indriya, right? But when Indriya, right, when these six senses, when they are used deliberately in order to do this Raga, Dvesha and Moha business, right, when they are used in order to, you know, satisfy the likes and dislikes and ego, right, when the six senses are abused, not used, abused, right? So that is when there are certain type of experience which happens, right? So now I'm been talking about this example repeatedly, right? But the thing is, you know, I don't need to give you 100 different examples in order to show you a particular thing, right? I just need to give you one very precise example, and then if you can just think again and again about that one example, right, then you can understand clearly what I want to communicate to you or what I want you to see, right? So we were talking about this example of what the mirror and image, right, in the past few weeks, if you remember. So we were talking about this fact that imagine that someone was crazy and they had this idea that even when they are not in front of mirror, the image that they see in the mirror, it's already there, but they are not in front of mirror, right? So even when they are not in front of mirror, the image that they see when they are in front of mirror, it is supposed to be there. That is how they think, right? So that is why now, of course, I am pretty sure none of you feel in that way. That's why I call them crazy, right? Because they feel in that way. So what they feel is perhaps, you know, imagine that that crazy person, he came to the sermon. So when he is sitting in the sermon, what does he feel? He feels that the mirror that he has at his home, right? That mirror already has his image, but right now he can just not see that image. Imagine that he was crazy like that, right? So now, the thing is, it's not very easy to tell this man what is really happening, right? Because, see, all of you, you are wise in that particular matter, and you know that that is not so, but that man, he believes in such a thing, right? So now, even when he goes back to his home, right, and when he goes in front of mirror, if the light is on, if the mirror is there, and he has eyes, and all the causes are there, then will he not see the image in the mirror? If the causes are there, he will see the image in the mirror, right? And when he looks at the mirror, he looks at the mirror with some sort of preconceived notions or ideas, right? As in, he is not trying to understand what is really happening in that situation. He thinks he already understands what is happening, and with that idea that he thinks is correct, he tries to observe reality. Right? So when he tries to do such a thing, so when he goes in front of the mirror, right, with this idea that image is already there, now if all the causes are there, you know he will see a reflection. But if you are his friend, and imagine that you also go to home with him, right? So you are also, he tells you that I have this magical mirror. Imagine that he tells you like that, that he tells you that, my friend, I have this amazing mirror, and that mirror, right, it has a beautiful image and it's always there. So he tells you a thing like that, and you are like, I haven't heard about a thing like that, let me come and see with you, right? And then you go to his home, and then he turns on the light, he opens the door where is the door of the room where this mirror is, right? And he takes you to that room, and he turns on the light and everything, and then he goes in front of mirror and he says, see, this image, it's always there, whether I am in front of the mirror or not, that image is always there. And now, what is the idea that he has before going in front of mirror? That even before he goes in front of the mirror, the image will be there. He goes in front of the mirror with that idea, right? So when he does that, then what will happen? Even though all of you are all wise, and you know that the reason why image is there, it's only in the present moment when the causes are there. You know it very clearly. You don't have any doubts, right? I don't think... Does any of you feel that the image is there in the mirror when you are not in front of mirror? Is anyone here thinking like that? No, right? So now that man, when he looks at the mirror, what does he feel? Even though the image is only in that moment when he is in front of mirror, he interprets what he sees according to the ideas that he has. Is it so or not? You understand what I'm trying to say? Yes, when he looks at the image, even though you know image is only there in that moment, how will he interpret that image? The reflection that he will see in the mirror. He will interpret it as how? That of course, it is there because it is supposed to be there, right? That image that he sees, he feels that image has a past, right? Don't you think he feels in that way? You know that is not so, but that is how he will interpret that, right? So he is giving interpretation to reality according to the ideas that he has, right? Isn't that so? So see, why I did talk about this example is, we were talking about what just before coming to this mirror example? The Indriya, right? The Salayatana. So, when we say Indriya, Indriya basically means the six senses, right? The eye and ear and nose and tongue and body or the touch, right? So, and the thinking, right? The mind faculty. So, those actually senses, those six senses, right? That is what we mean by Indriya. But when there is a ignorance, so don't you all know the when Buddha talks about the Paticca Samuppada, right? If we go by the scriptures, right, the Buddha gives the full, long, elaborate version of the Paticca Samuppada or dependent origination. And one of the factors in that dependent origination is what? The Salayatana, right? Nama Rupa Paccaya Salayatana, right? So this Salayatana is one of those factors. So now, of course, in this monastery, when we are talking about the defilement process, we are talking about the simplified version of the dependent origination, where we don't have to think and understand all these complicated 12 things, right? But of course, in the original one, it's a more complicated what happens, right? So, this Indriya, right, as I was telling you, this Indriya, six senses, when you use them in order to fulfill your likings or dislikings, or in order to, you know, satisfy your ego in some way, right? So basically what I'm saying, when you use your senses, the six senses, in order to do this business of liking, disliking and ego, or let's say raga, dvesha, moha, right? When the senses are used with this knowledge, right? So, you know, the reason for raga and dvesha is what? Moha. Right? Raga and dvesha, liking and dislikings, they depend on the delusion. Right? Moha, wrong knowledge. So, let's put it simply. When these six senses, when they are used with the wrong idea, right? So, what is the defilement process? Ignorance, attachment, vexation, abhisankhara and jati dhamma. Ignorance, attachment, vexation, abhisankhara, jati and jati dhamma, right? So, see, this is simplified defilement process, right? So when Indriya, right, when the senses are used with the ignorance, you know, the defilement process or the Paticca Samuppada process, right? So, when Buddha talks about this Akusala Mula Paticca Samuppada, right? So, Akusala Mula Paticca Samuppada means the Paticca Samuppada process, which is responsible for doing akusala, right? So, what is akusala? So, whenever the karma is created, that process is what? Akusala, right? So when Buddha talks about the Paticca Samuppada in Tripitaka, right? When he talks about this ignorance, sankhara, so avidya, sankhara, vijnana, and the whole thing, and then the last thing is jati, jati, dhamma, right? So, when he talks about that process, so, technically, we can call it Akusala Mula Paticca Samuppada cycle, right? So, Akusala Mula means it is starting with the Akusala, or the end product of that cycle is what? Akusala, right? The generation of karma, really. So this Kiles process or defilement process or the Akusala Mula Paticca Samuppada, right? What happens is basically it starts with the wrong knowledge, right? Avidya. So, like this man who starts with the wrong knowledge. When he goes in front of the mirror, does he go in front of mirror with the correct knowledge or with the wrong knowledge? He goes in front of mirror with the wrong knowledge, right? So just like that, so even when he is not in front of the mirror, he still has the wrong knowledge, right? But it's just that when he goes in front of mirror and when he sees something, right, then he takes it as a evidence that what he believes is true, right? I mean, he actually misinterprets the evidence or observation, right? Isn't that what he does? When you are with him, you don't interpret that image as something which is always there, right? It is only him, the crazy guy, who interprets, right? Actually, does the image say that I was there in the past? Does the image say that? The image in the mirror? Does it say, hello, I was there in the past and I will be there in the future also? My name is this. Does it say that? That is not what it says, right? But because this man is crazy, when he goes in front of the mirror, what he says? It is supposed to be there. So if he sees that, then this is how he interprets that observation. What? That it is there because it is supposed to be there, right? See, now perhaps you are, I'm not sure whether all of you are able to connect all these many, I'm talking about many different Dhamma points. I hope you are all able to connect them, right? From my own perspective, you know, I don't feel I have talked about many different things. I feel that I am only talking about this one Dhamma point that I want you to see. But perhaps you feel I'm talking about many different Dhamma facts, right? Even when I did tell you about this sight, sound, smell, taste, touch and thought, these six things, right, that you always feel they are out there, but you are just not experiencing them right now. Even that is like just like this crazy man, right? Isn't that so? Now, perhaps, you know, when I give you this example of image and mirror, then perhaps in that specific example, it is easy to see what that, of course, the image has not always been there. It's only there in that moment. But the thing is, somehow, when the six things happen, the sight, sound, smell, taste, touch and thought, when they happen with the ignorance, then what do you feel? That you are experiencing them because they are out there. You experience them because they are out there, and they are out there, that is why you experience them. Isn't that how you feel about everything? That is very fundamental fact of your experience, right? Of all normal human beings, right? Everyone shares that fundamental fact of experience, right? So, do you ever think that let's say there were two, you have a friend, imagine, and the name of your friend is, let's say, Suresh. The name of your friend is Suresh. Okay? So now, do you ever feel that you feel Suresh in your mind and you don't know it is only in your mind? That is why you feel it is out there. You don't feel in that way, right? What you feel is that Suresh is out there. That is why you feel Suresh here. Just like this man, he thinks that the image is out there, that is why he experiences the image, right? He does not even understand that that image is just something that is an effect that happens, right? And then because of the distortion, right? Because of the ignorance, or let's say the way mind functions, right? See, now, think about the sound, for example. Right now, don't you all feel the sound comes from that speaker? I am here, my sound comes from that speaker, right? So even if you are Arhant Tuhanse or Arhant Mehani Vahanse, right? Even if you are Arhants, all of you, even then, physically, you would feel, physically, right? I mean, in terms of experience, you would still feel what, when the mind happens, what the sound is coming from there. That is how you would feel. But you would just understand that that feeling itself is an effect, really. So, I mean, see, for our biological survival, it's necessary for us to, locate things and dangers, right? And to live our life, you know, we need to know, spatial locations, let's say, of the things, right? In conventional sense. So, you know, the way our mind works is, we feel all these things, right? So, if someone was in your back, right, and they speak something, now you would feel, even if you are Arhan, then you understand that it is just the mind which is happening, but within that mind, you would still feel that the sound is coming from the backwards. As in, there is someone behind you or the source of sound, right? You can understand, or you would have a feeling about its physical location, right? Even right now, you have that feeling of physical location of sound. Even as Arhan, you would have that feeling. But you would just understand that this sound itself is an effect. You cannot say where the sound is happening, really. Do you think Chitta has a physical location? Where does the Chitta happen, tell me? Where does the Chitta happen? Can you physically locate Chitta anywhere? Can you like take it with the tweezer, let's say? Okay, so can you pick up your Chitta with the tweezer? So, see, this is the funny thing, right? When we talk about the mind is effect, but you cannot say whether mind is physical or not physical. Because mind depends on the physical causes. But the mind itself is not physical. Like for you to see what you are seeing right now, you know your body has to work, right? If you close your one eye or two eyes, then you will not be able to see what you are seeing right now. So see, this is all wrong things with the language, really. I say what? You cannot see. It's not that you cannot see. The causes would not come together, then the sight would not be there. There is nothing to see, really. There is nothing to see, right? When I was telling you about all these things, right? Hawaii, you want to perhaps go to Hawaii and you want to travel. Because you feel there is something to see which is out there. That is because you still don't have a perfect understanding of this fact that sight, sound, smell, taste, touch and thought, they are just effects. And effects, you know, in a very naive sense, perhaps we can say effects have a spatial location or have a physical location. But the thing is, you always observe world with what? The sight, sound, smell, taste, touch and thoughts, or let's say those are the six type of experiences which can happen based on the matter, right? So now even though those six type of experiences can happen, and you know mind itself does not have any physical location, right? Then, can you really say where those effects are, really, that you see? Because mind, you cannot say where mind is happening physically. You can't say that, right? So basically, Jati and Jati Dhamma, right? So as initially I told you, right? So someone had asked this question, can you please explain Jati and Jati Dhamma? And this whole discussion that we had was in order to understand this Jati and Jati Dhamma, right? So this man who goes in front of the mirror with the wrong knowledge, every time he sees something, he interprets that whatever observation he has, he interprets that observation according to the ideas that he has. Rather than trying to understand what is really happening, if he really tries to understand in that situation what is really happening, right? And if his investigation is correct, then would he not be able to come to this correct understanding that what he sees is not really existing or a thing which is supposed to be there, but it can be there when the light is there, when he's in front of mirror, the mirror is there and his eyes are working. That is what he would understand, right? If he were to investigate correctly. But if he does not do that, if he takes a shortcut, if he just tries to impose his own ideas on the reality, then the thing is, he will experience something, or let's say he will give interpretations to the experience that he has, but those interpretations would not be correct, right? So this jati and jati dhamma, right? Maybe there are, you know, so many ways that we can understand jati and jati dhamma, but this is a one perspective which I have been contemplating recently, right? So I am sharing that particular perspective with all of you, right? So one way you can think about this jati and jati dhamma is in this way, really. So when indriya, or when the six senses, when they are used with the wrong knowledge, right? When the mind happens, right? And when the mind happens with the wrong knowledge, then there is an experience according to that wrong knowledge, but that experience that wrong knowledge creates, it is only result of that wrong knowledge, right? If the wrong knowledge was not there, then he would not, that experience would not happen, right? If this man, if he had a correct understanding of how the mirror works, then he would not have that feeling, right? That image is supposed to be there. But because he has wrong knowledge, and even when he observes something, the reality itself is not lying, right? The nature itself is not lying to any of us. It is the wrong knowledge, right? When we observe the reality with the wrong knowledge, then we have certain wrong experiences and we just don't understand they are wrong experiences, right? So jati and jati dhamma basically is that experience, really, right? Whenever you have this feeling that something is supposed to be there, right? Because you always live your life with this fundamental belief that there is such a thing as existence, right? So existence basically means something which has been there in the past, it is there in the present, and it will be there in the future. You have always lived your life with that idea, right? Believing in such a thing as existence, right? So this existence, I mean atta. The opposite of anatta, the atta, right? You have always lived your life with the belief that there is such a thing as existence, or atta, or sara, right? You have always lived your life believing in some sort of... So sara is a word for substance or essence, right? Like you feel that you are your essence, right? As in, even though this physical body has changed, what you call you right now, that you has always been there. So that is your essence, right? So that is atta. So you have believed in this existence of atta, right? So when you believe in atta, then there are experiences which makes you feel that atta is there. But now, if the only reason why you feel atta is because of ignorance, then is that feeling of atta itself atta or anatta? You understand what I'm saying? If the feeling of atta that you have, if the only reason why it is there is because of this ignorance, because of the causes, right? If those causes were not there, then that feeling of atta would not be there. Then is that feeling of atta just a feeling, or is it something that means something real? Does that feeling of atta itself does have any atta, or is it anatta? So as in like the... So like when you understand what happens with the image in the mirror, then would you feel like this man, that there is something which is always supposed to be there? You would understand there is nothing which is supposed to be there in the mirror, right? But now, of course, all of you understand that very easily for the mirror, But when you are living in this mental world that you have in your mind, then about that mental world is full of so many things, right? Infinite things. So about all those infinite things, you somehow feel that they are supposed to be there and they are meant to be in that way, right? You don't understand that those things are effect, really. So this experience of Nitya Sukha Atta, right? So that experience, right, is what Jati and Jati Dhamma is. Jati and Jati Dhamma basically, so Jati we usually give interpretation as being, right, the sentient beings, right, and Jati Dhamma are things, right, inert entities or non-living entities, right, some things, so somebodies and some things, right, these are the Jati and Jati Dhamma, and somebody and some things, it is not that they happen in your mind, and then you feel it is out there. That is not how you feel, right? You feel that they are out there, and then you get to know them. That is how you feel, right? So see, that is just like this crazy man, right? That is not what really happens. Now the thing is, now it is a very big claim, right? You might feel it is such a profound thing to say that all these things, right? But Buddha did say, Mano Pubbanga Ma Dhamma. Right, the origination of Dhamma. So, of course, this word Dhamma has so many meanings, right? But in the context of this sermon, you can take the Dhamma to mean Mano Dhamma, right? So, Mano Pubbanga Ma Dhamma. So, Dhamma has an origin in the mind, right? So Jati and Jati Dhamma basically is this feeling of Nitya Sukha and Atta, right? Now, what Buddha wants us to understand is that this feeling of Nitya Sukha and Atta itself is not supposed to be there. See, this man who goes in front of mirror, if he has some intelligence and wisdom about himself, then when you as a good friend try to help him, will he not understand if he has some modicum of intelligence and wisdom in him? Then when you try to help him to understand that image is not really always there, then he will understand, right? So see, just like that, now Buddha also wants us to understand that, really. Buddha wants us to understand Anicca, Dukkha and Anatta, and then he wants us to apply it to everything, really. So I think with that, let's conclude. And the questions that other people have asked, right? So we will not throw away these papers, right? So perhaps in the next sermon, maybe I will try to talk about and address these questions, right? Right. So Anagarika Mahatoru, you can keep these questions with you, right? Please don't throw them. Okay. So then let's conclude today's sermon and do the transfer of merits. Let us take a moment to transfer the merits we have all acquired by making offerings to the infinite virtues of the Noble Triple Gem, chanting Pirit, listening to the Dhamma, engaging in various meritorious deeds today. First and foremost, let us remind ourselves how incredibly fortunate we are to be in the receipt of the Lord Buddha's teachings, and with the immense gratitude, let us transfer these merits to the bhikkhus, bhikkhunis, upasika and upasikas who since time immemorial have protected and preserved the sublime teachings of the Buddha and passed it down through the noble lineage in the form of Tripitaka, which is thankfully available to us to understand, study and comprehend the Dhamma. Let us also transfer the merits we have acquired to all members of the Mahasangha present throughout the world, including the chief prelates of all the chapters who have dedicated their lives to the noble path and have committed themselves towards the betterment of all sentient beings. Let us not forget that among them are the monks and nuns resident in your local temples and nunneries who have always been by your side through thick and thin, come rain or shine. Let us also transfer this marriage to Guru Swamihans and all other monks resident at this monastery, as well as the Anagarikas and Anagarikas attached to the monastery. Let us also take a moment to transfer the merits and express our gratitude to those who make great efforts to disseminate the teachings of the Buddha, be that by transliterating this sermon, sharing them out with others, or inviting others to join them. May through the power of this merits, if any of them them have been born in the woeful plains, may they redeem themselves and be born in the blissful plain. May through the power of these merits they abstain from the unmeritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble eightfold path, and may they all attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let us also transfer the merits we have acquired to all our devotees, friends of the monastery, who for the sake of the merits continue to sustain the Mahasangha. This includes everyone, from those of you who have contributed to the construction of the monastery to those of you who provide the Mahasangha with the shelter, arms, ropes and medicines, as well as those of you who have passed on their know-how and extend their well wishes. May through the power of these merits, may they abstain from the unmeritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble eightfold path, and may they all attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let us also take a moment to transfer merits to our mothers and fathers, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, grandparents, uncles, aunts, cousins, nephews and nieces, our elders, friends and acquaintances, employers and employees, and to all those who have helped us, supported us and assisted us in any way, shape or form. May by the power of these merits they be healed of any physical and mental ailments, overcome any obstacle to their spiritual progress. May they abstain from the unmeritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble eightfold path, and may they all attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let us also take a moment to transfer merits to the Devas and Brahma, spirits and demons, primarily the Sakkadeva, as well as the numerous gods and deities who are committed to protect and fulfill the Sambuddha Sasana. Let us also transfer merits to our guardian deities who keep watchful eye over us and keep us out of harm's way. May through the power of this merits they prosper in the divine power and wisdom. May they abstain from the unmeritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble eightfold path, and may they all attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let us also take a moment to transfer merits to our ancestors who have predeceased us, to all those who have been our families and friends and acquaintances in this infinitely long journey of sansara, who have helped us, supported us and assisted us in every way they could. Let us transfer this merits. Let us also transfer merits to the members of the armed force as well as the police force who have sacrificed their lives to protect the peace and harmony of our nation. May all those who have lost their lives in the war, be they friend or foe, rejoice in the merits we have acquired today. Let us also transfer merits to all those who have lost their lives in the natural disasters such as tsunamis, earthquakes, landslides and pandemics, reminding ourselves that among them will be those who have been friends and family to us in this infinitely long journey of sansara. Let us also take a moment to transfer merits to them. May through the power of this merits, if any of them have been born in the woeful plains, may they redeem themselves and be born in the blissful plain. May they abstain from the unmeritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble eightfold path, and may they all attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Finally, let us resolve that may through the power and blessings of all the merits we have acquired throughout the day, may we be able to witness the advent of many hundreds of thousands of arhats on this blessed land. And finally, may through the power of all the merits we have acquired today, you and I and everyone who has helped make this program a success, become arhantu ahanse or arhanta mahani ahanse in this very life and in the era of Gautama Supreme Buddha itself. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. May the blessings of the Noble Triple Gem be with you all. Dear Acharya.